let me just say thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with me today. This is definitely a huge treat for me. I've been listening to you for 20 years now, starting with Soul on Ice, and this is definitely an incredible privilege to really be able to interview someone I consider a legend. Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
And, you know, when I heard the song American Horror Story Part 1 and Part 2, I really appreciated, one, the fact that you just addressed the issue, especially so close to the election itself. And I was wondering if I might just start by asking you, what was it that made you feel like you had to write this song after the election?
I think personally, I didn't really understand what happened. I think I was a little dumbfounded for the first like 36 hours or something. Friends are calling, people from out of the country are calling, families calling. For me, I was just, you know, I kind of felt like it was coming. I didn't really understand the dynamics of what just happened. So for me, I needed to understand the numbers. So that's why I wrote it. I wrote it for me to understand what dynamically, by percentages, what happened. And then in doing that, I got some perspective about exactly who voted, who didn't vote, who slipped votes, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of... I didn't plan on making a song. I wasn't going to make a fucking election song, you know, whatever. And I wasn't even put it out. I just wrote it for myself. I sent it to about five or six of my close friends and my mother, the mother of my children. We have kids and like, bro, like this is the country we live in. I just wanted them to understand my perspective as I got back the percentages and kind of reached my conclusion about it. And then, everybody's like, yo, you know, you should let other people hear this, you know, and maybe it's kind of, maybe you summed up and expressed a frustration and a bewilderment that we all had. Then we just put it out. Yeah, it's totally personal, totally selfish.
Well, you know, I mean, I imagine there's a lot of people who heard it and agreed with a lot of what you had to say. And I wanted to ask particularly, you know, there's a number of moments, especially in the second part of the song. You have the line, blame yourself when your civil rights get fucked up. You talk about neocon judges being appointed to the Supreme Court, the potential for millions to lose their health care, women potentially losing access to reproductive health care, the impact that a Trump election will have on those states that have legalized weed and how that might influence nonviolent arrests for drug possession, right? And so one of the things that you really focused on in the song are the policy consequences of the election. And it seems like a lot of folks sort of look at, say, the 8 years of Barack Obama, and they might say to themselves, well, I'm not any better off after these 8 years than I was then. So, you know, that's why I didn't vote. That's why I didn't get more involved. Without maybe thinking about, you know, what happens when Medicare or Medicaid, for example, becomes a block grant, and now you might have relatives who aren't getting the same level of care, who have to pay a copay now when they go try to go get medical services. Do you think people are in tune enough, and especially in sort of the hip-hop community, are we in tune enough to the sort of policy consequences of our politics, or do we...
They didn't. I mean, I don't think they at all. I think nobody learned anything from Brexit. They had buyer's remorse. Mm. At the end of the day, they're probably going to lose Ireland. They're probably going to leave the fucking UK. It's going to fuck their economy up. They still have to fucking trade and do business with the rest of Europe. What he's doing, at the end of the day, Trump is, if you kind of look at what he does for the most part, he uses banks' money, which is taxpayers' money, and any kind of guts shit, like the casinos fail, whatever, he never really puts up his money. And then he guts it, he underpays people, and then he puts his name on it. So he's going to gut, and America is a company. It's incorporated. America is incorporated. It's a corporation of this country. And I don't know if other countries are, but this is fact. This is not something I'm making up. This is a corporation.
The Constitution's an incorporation document.
So he's going to gut the corporation. That means the little man never really gets paid, or right before you're supposed to retire, they fire you and rehire you so they can start not give you you understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. Yeah, so, yeah. Take your pension that way.
Yeah, they can take your pension. This is what he's going to do. And I don't think, you know, we're not a very sophisticated or worldly country as a collective. Mm. You know, you get better news and you get more informed people. Most people can't, you know, they can't name states. They don't know who their, you know, vice president. They don't know much. They know the new shoes and what Kanye West did yesterday, but they don't know shit. They don't. It's just as a total populace, period. We're least informed. You know, they do expect about where we are in reading, where we are in math. Like, we're not the leader in anything. We're very ignorant because we party in bullshit and talk about celebrity. So I don't think they understood the dynamic of the politics, of just the repercussions of when they already gerrymandered the districts. They're already trying to make sure that Mexicans and blacks can't vote. And college people, they don't want those people because they want the mentality of the purpose. Basically, it's scapegoat. Yeah, it's the Mexicans' fault we don't have jobs. That's a fucking lie. It was the black people's fault. Back in the day, it was the Irish fault. Mm. There's always a scapegoat. They're always going to blame somebody for status quo to keep what they have without a lot of effort. So the complaint is, we can't get a job. You can't bring back some of these jobs. They don't exist. They don't exist anymore. And at the rate we're going, and think about, even just from a human point of view, even the Pope, everybody's like, you know, climate change is real, and what we're doing is, and you got white people in middle America that turn on their faucet and fire comes out. That's not natural. So there's repercussions. But the ones at the top, they're rich. They don't eat what we eat. They're not eating GMOs. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. So they don't give a fuck about everybody else. And the dummies in the middle, you know, middle America and, you know, the Bible Belt, they needed a scapegoat. But there's nobody, there ain't no Mexican dude or a black dude selling them crack in middle, you know.
Yeah, no,
some
exactly.
Bubble fuck Arkansas. They're making their own meth, killing themselves. You understand what I'm saying? But then they want to blame us, the niggers and the Mexicans, do all of them. Yeah, they're crying, dude. There's nobody doing anything to you. You're doing it to yourself, and then you got a boogeyman. So we're the boogeyman. And I don't think anybody thought about the repercussions of the women that voted for Trump, even the poor white people. They don't realize he's rich already. He was born rich. Mm. He does not give a fuck about those white people. He just needed a scapegoat. He said the language that they wanted to hear so he can get some more money. And I'm not really that concerned about him so much, except that he's a moron. And I guess technically if he says push the button, you know, he'll go nuke somebody and then we're all fucked. I guess they can't tell him no. And it's a right wing, you know, right wing. Pence is the one, you know. Trump is probably gonna be the brand. Pence is probably gonna run the show the same way George W. Bush was the dummy, and Cheney really was running the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of people right now who are worried about who exactly is going to be setting policy. And you know, for those of us who remember both the dynamics of the 2000 election, some of which have repeated themselves here today. In 2016, but also who just remember that those 8 years of that presidency and the sort of, I mean, for a lot of us on the left side of our politics here in America, just the sort of sheer fear we had of figures like Cheney and Rumsfeld, and not exactly sure who was reining them in, and their sort of far right neocon positions in that administration. Let me ask one question that is raised to my mind in the song. You know, I think it's towards the ends of part two, there's a line, and I'm paraphrasing, but you talk about the fact that, you know, I guess USA was not supposed to include, and you name a number of different groups, but, you know, I'm going to sort of collapse them into people of color, just right. To oversimplify. And I wanted to put that sentiment in conversation with a couple of moments from your intellectual property project. There's the song Kanye Moment, by the way. I love that video.
Thanks.
But it's spectacular. I mean, the is it Numbskull from Loonies who's doing the Kanye impression?
Numb is playing Kanye.
I mean, that Oscar worthy, I have to say. But there's a
line, he's spot on.
There's a line in the song where you mention slavery rap. I cringe. It makes me ashamed to be black. And then there's that song in the moment on intellectual property where there's a line, I was born in the USA. Try telling that to Yasin Bey. And so I think one of the issues that is raised by the song American Horror Story is how do we fit into this American landscape, especially as people of color, as people who have been oppressed, but who also have fought and died for this country? There's no question, right? Slaves built this country. So we are part of the history. You know, what is it that we owe it to our place and our ancestors' legacy and our democracy, to your mind? And how have you wrestled with that question of American identity?
For me, it's conflicted. Most people, you know, you got to remember with the African diaspora that they purposely broke up the families. I can't get on some site and figure out where all my family came from because they purposely fucked that paperwork up. Besides that, just on my mother's side, we're Creole. We're also Native American. My grandfather was half black, foot Indian. So I'm Native American. My grandmother's brother, my uncle, took the blood test. We were 12% Nordic and 8% French. We thought we were French black people. We were more Nordic on my mother's side.
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
that shit is crazy. And then you got to remember, phenotypes are just phenotypes. What comes out dark doesn't necessarily mean it's completely black, or what comes out light doesn't mean it's completely white. There's really no such thing. Even the Caucasian isn't a completely white. Caucasian had evolved from black, and that's why they call Caucasus Asian. Caucasus now an Asian people. They have Asian blood. They're the evolution of Asian. So, for me, my identity as an American is, rap, L.A., it's more even specific. I'm from L.A. There's a certain subculture that makes me my character just from being born in L.A. and not in Atlanta or in New York. So, me being a Creole on my mom's side, that part is the type of food that we naturally ate, growing up. I grew up Catholic. Most blacks don't grow up Catholic. They grew up Baptist. Out of the culture, I totally don't relate to Baptist churches. I relate more to Catholic churches. You understand? If I had to go to church, that's my upbringing. It's my comfortability. With that being said, my Native American part is like, well, fuck. Where's my money? I need about shit. We need to track our shit down. That's what we're doing right now so we can get our money. I want my $5,000 a month, let alone because I'm black. Shit, give me some. We deserve our payment. The Japanese got theirs for the internment. The Native Americans, everybody gets fucked over, but at least some of them get a cash settlement. We got white people that say, never happened. Fuck you. Go to jail.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. We've touched on this a little bit, but there do seem to be, to my mind, two streams that really inform this election result. One is segregation, right, which I think allows for the sort of ignorance that you just described, and even allows for the sort of ignorance you described earlier, where people want to scapegoat all these persons that don't live within 100 miles of them. And allows us to sort of mediate the existence of our quote-unquote others, through tropes and stereotypes. And then the other is, our public education system, and especially in more rural places, certainly inner city communities. But obviously in this country, the less money your community has, the poorer the public education system is. And that education system, I think, is really a key, right, in any democratic society, because it is what you rely on to prepare your citizens for the exercise of self-governance. And as someone, especially who, right, I think this song, American Horror Story, fits into a stream that has traveled throughout your career, from Nature of the Threat to Interview with a Vampire to the Music of Business. You have a history of tackling sort of big topics and playing an educative role, really, in the hip-hop community in a lot of ways. Where do you see the fight for just improved educational access and resources after this election?
So the Board of Education, all our history books are in America. Unless you're in a private school or a Catholic school, for the most part, for public education, Texas writes them. So literally, somebody just tried to sue. So when you got a place that has a deny, it's like somebody trying to deny the Holocaust. Like, Texas denies even the South. They're like, this flag doesn't mean slavery. This just means we're the Confederates. Well, the Confederates didn't want to be part of America. And then they try to rewrite that. It wasn't about slavery. It was just about having our lifestyle. The lifestyle was built on slavery. Stop fucking They're playing with the words. So if you don't diagnose the disease, you're going to keep getting all these different, you know, you're trying to treat symptoms and never tackling the disease. The disease is white supremacy. It's white male superiority in his brain and how he's used that. He's done that. He's manipulated everybody else, and he uses guns. He uses biological warfare. He uses media, everything. So I don't. As far as education, we're not educated. America's one of the least educated of the so-called first world countries. Mm. There's no stats. You can look at where we place in science, where we place in reading, where we place in math. We're stupid as fuck. When you go to Europe, when you go to fucking anywhere else, the first thing, when you go to Canada, the first thing you hear people say is stupid American. They go, a fucking Italian-American goes to Italy and says, I want some fettuccine Alfredo. And they're like, we don't make that. That doesn't exist here. They're like, you want me to tell them? And they're in Italy, and they're like, that's so Americanized shit. We don't have that.
Mm.
White people, you got to understand that white people in America think they're whiter than Europeans. And the Europeans don't like them. They think they're clowns. This is the Bafo moron place. Yeah, for real.
No, I mean, I lived in England for 2 years, and it was clear to me that the sort of image of the American that most people I encountered had was that of like a sort of rural southerner, you know, the sort of stereotypical poor white person.
Right. Yeah. So as far as the education there, that's one part of it. You got to remember, especially in a black historical context, they taught them, they read them passages specifically to bow down and be slaves. Mm-hmm. They did not want them reading. They did not. So you have a country that wants to miseducate, it doesn't. And there was a man who was in the Nation of Islam. He was killed. His name was Khalid Muhammad. But he said something that was just fundamentally true. He said, if a person won't treat you right, why would he teach you right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's his fact. So if I'm a pimp and I'm pimping this girl, why would I need to keep her miseducated, misdirected, because I don't want to treat her right. Why would I teach her the right things, how to do her own banking, how to, you understand what I'm saying? How not to be a prostitute, how to go to school and do something else, because I'm trying to exploit her. So in America, you got to remember that they aren't going to teach us right because they don't want to treat us right. And that's just fundamental in America.
How important
they don't want middle American white people to learn better. They want them because then they can play the game. It's called divide and conquer. Scapegoat. The nigger's the problem. The Mexican's the problem. The so-and-so's the problem. Meanwhile, there's only 1% of this population making 99% of the wealth.
Mm. No, I mean
I said 95% of the wealth, and that was from a Forbes magazine 20 years ago. Either on Solo Nights or Assassination, I said, when 1% of the population controls 95% of the wealth, it's changed, it's gotten worse. 1% of the population owns 99% of the wealth. So the stupid white guy that thinks the niggers are the problem, you know, your problem is your fucking cousin, the white guy that got everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, there's no...
The Mexican's not the problem. A Mexican person comes here, they already done the math.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that reality.
That's crime because they don't want to get in trouble. And then and most new immigrants do the shit job and then build themselves up. Irish did it. Italians did it. Mexicans did it. Blacks didn't have a choice. The Chinese did it. You understand what I'm saying? Most immigrants have to start from the bottom and they do the shit job and then build and empower their communities and grow from there. You know, at the end of the day, our country is... Somebody has to lose in capitalism, and it's designed that the ones that already have the power are going to, you know, they don't want to lose that. And so the rest of it is just smoke and mirrors. And somebody's got to be the scapegoat. So after 9/11, I was like, well, I'm not going to lie. I was like, well, Arabs is the new niggas. These ain't pulling me over. Honestly, I did. I put an American flag on the back of my Jaguar, and I never got pulled over again. I have a license. I didn't have a fucking driver's license. They would get behind me, and then they saw the flag, and they get to the side, and the white guys do the little fucking salute. Fucking America rules, and I got a gun under the seat, and fucking no license, driving dirty as fuck, because the new niggas was the Arabs.
Yeah, let me just ask, because I don't want to take up too much more of your time, But what do you feel like is our responsibility moving forward in the next 4 years with, you know, dealing with the reality of a President Trump and all that that might mean for this nation?
I don't have that answer. And to be perfectly honest, if I had more money, I'd be gone. Mm. And I'm still trying to leave. I'm just kind of over this country. You know, scholars greater than me, white men, have said we're at the end of, you know, dynasties come and go. America is a short dynasty. This isn't Rome. This isn't China. This is in Egypt. It's a dynasty that may spurt out after 350 years. It's a dynasty at the end of its, you know, its heyday is over with. I do believe that. And like I said, scholars greater than me, American scholars have said that. Like, we have shown all the signs of a society that's eating itself from the inside out, and that is towards the end. So maybe Donald Trump is the beginning or the end. And I'm kind of over it. I mean, think about it. British people go travel, they migrate. You know, Europeans migrate like a motherfucker. That's why they took over here. You know, Latinos, everybody else migrates. You know who doesn't migrate? Black Americans. Fuck this place. I'm going somewhere else. There's a whole world out there. I go to Costa Rica and go chill, bro. So I'm out. I'm not obligated to stay here.
And then let me ask just go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I mean, I just wanted to ask, I really appreciate you giving me so much of your time and sharing me some of your thoughts about the election result and about American Horror Story. Is Soul on Ice 2 still slated for December?
No. I've dropped a lot of content. You know, literally between the deluxe edition, the vinyl, and the CD. There's 6 songs that are just exclusive to those different formats, like 4 on the deluxe edition, the Killer Free song on the CD, and the vinyl has another song with El Guy and Shabam Sadiq, produced by Snow Goon. So, I mean, I'm thinking like 27 songs on one project.
That's a lot.
And then I did the vinyl, the solo mics we visited, and there's new content. There's a couple of remixes. I put a exclusive song on that. I Lost Heaven is the last song on the vinyl. And then, you know, I kind of make things like, you know, I did this American Horror Story, you know, it's content and, you know, shit. I think people should take the time and appreciate and digest the hard work that I do. I'm not on the woe is me shit, but, you know, all the so-called really great, you know, the ones that get all the big bucks, they don't talk about shit and they get a whole bunch of attention off of like a mediocre record. And meanwhile, I have to write these amazing things and get very little respect and appreciation for them. So for me, I'm going to focus on getting out of America. I'll always retain dual citizenship. But that's kind of my goal. I like most of that. He has a great life. But he makes money. He's an actor first. He makes his money a different way. He lives in, you know, lives in fucking
South Africa.
Africa. Yeah. And I've been to Cape Town. That shit is Malibu on steroids. Shit is hot. That shit's an amazing place to live. That shit's awesome. I wanted to move there. I think I went there before him, but my paper just wasn't up. So, I mean, you know, when you get your paper right, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to go somewhere where there's a peace of mind and I don't have to deal with the ignorance of this country. It's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there anymore. It's more, I mean, shit. I think Canada closed down their site. Like, you're not coming over here. They don't want the stupid American mentality. Like, we don't want you here. And there's not just niggas and Mexicans. They're like, we don't want your kind. You're stupid white people. We don't want you. You know, Canadians come here, do comedy, make money, and then go back to Canada and keep. Honestly, Howie Mandel, the fucking all adult comedians, niggas, Canadians, they come here and get the bread and still have their Canadian citizenship because we're fucking sadistic. Messages popped up in the head, bro. So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
Well, I hear you. And let me just say, I think that Intellectual Property is an incredible project. I really loved what you did with Apollo Brown with Blasphemy. And obviously, you know, records like Rassassination and Soul on Ice are classic records in the hip-hop genre. And I really appreciate the time you've taken out to speak with me today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it, bro.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Peace.